41 and special guest in the studio. We welcome in Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Kelly, I'm great. I always appreciate being here. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, how was your July? We didn't see you last month.
I've been blessed to have a couple weeks of vacation, and yep. I'm not going to lie, it was nice to get out of Dodge for a while, but it's also good to be back.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Anyway, for those of you who may not have heard Detective Edson on the show before, he focuses on scams that are hitting the area, and you wanted to start out with these. Do you refer to them as imposter scams?
That's the general term. We've talked about it before, but we've had a couple instances crop up recently, so I thought it'd be a good time to revisit those and just reinforce some of the things that we talked about. So the ones that I want to talk about today occurred on Facebook, and just to reiterate how easy it is to create fake Facebook profiles and pretend to be somebody that you're not. The first one, someone here in Sheboygan fell victim to, it was a celebrity scam. The person was purporting to be a popular singer and somehow convinced this person that they were on hard times and needed money from them. So they were able to get several thousand dollars from them pretending to be this singer. The other one that recently happened is a different variation of that, but same kind of idea where someone's hiding behind a fake identity. They had created a fake profile and were chatting with this person and developed what I'll call a romantic relationship and convinced the person here in Sheboygan to send them some compromising images and videos and then turned around and basically blackmailed them and said, if you don't send us money, we're going to send these pictures and videos to your friends and family. And of course, the person was worried and you get, you know, they rely on that emotional kind of chaotic reaction. So the person ended up sending Western Union wire moneygrams to a place in the Philippines. Wow. And obviously, as you know, local law enforcement, we have no jurisdiction to even investigate that in the Philippines. Sure. So he's out $1,000. But just to reiterate to people that unless you know the person personally, don't be engaging with a lot of personal information over Facebook. Don't agree to be sending money to people that you haven't met in person. And even if the profile is someone, if you get a friend request, and I've had this happen to me, you get a friend request from someone that looks like a familiar person, verify with that person that their actual profile, that someone didn't data mine their information and create a fake profile to try to get you sucked into that.
And so, I think we've all had friend requests from people that we're already friends with. You know, that's a red flag too, I think, right?
Right, and that's all part of that social engineering that we talked about last time, was these scammers will spend hours going on social media pages. Some people put so much information about their personal life on there, and there's enough information on there for someone to create a fake profile pretending to be you, and then they send a friend request to your friend saying, oh, I got locked out of my account or something happened. Yeah. This is my new account, and you unknowingly accept that friend request, and then over time, again through social engineering, they'll try to get personal information from you or ask you to send money, all those kind of things. So it's, you know, buyer beware out there.
Yeah, for sure. What else would you want to touch on this morning?
I just wanted to talk about, since we're still kind of in the midst of all this COVID-19 stuff, that there are a lot of scammers taking advantage and trying to exploit the uncertainty and the things that are going on with COVID-19. A lot of them are using robocalls or messaging, either text messages or messaging through social media to try to defraud victims. And I saw a recent statistic that it was about $35 million as of the middle of May. And I have to imagine that it's considerably more than that by now. But, you know, some of the variations are people pretending to be working for like a contact tracing kind of organization. Right. And the idea behind that is they're going to try to get personal information from you to use for identity theft. There's a lot of websites and a lot of solicitations out there for fake cures or vaccinations or cheap masks or personal protective equipment that's all counterfeit. Student loan forgiveness, we've heard of that one out there where because of schools aren't in session, people are contacting college students saying, hey, we're going to offer you a refund or we're going to get you a student loan rebate or something like that. And they, again, give personal information for that. And then one more recently is with the primary elections and the presidential election coming up this fall, scammers are using the chaos of all that to defraud people and cause confusion. So they're saying that your polling place may have changed or the date of the election may have changed. So I guess if you have questions about if you receive those kinds of messages or phone calls, verify with your local authority, the city clerk or whoever, where your polling place is and where the election is, and what they're trying to do is suppress voter turnout or just cause chaos during the election, and they're using the COVID crisis to do that.
Right. So generally speaking, if these were legitimate things, they wouldn't be sending you emails or even calling you, would they?
Correct. Right. And I guess what I tell people when I do presentations is if you don't recognize a number on your phone, you just shouldn't answer it. If it's important enough, people leave voicemails routinely. If you don't have the number programmed into your phone or recognize the number, the best thing to do is just don't answer it. Yeah. And then a lot of phones allow you to block that number if they don't leave a message. So some people feel like they have to answer the phone every time. And all that does is open you up to someone, you know, trying to convince you that they're someone they're not and get money from you.
It really does. And I've taken that approach for a long time, that if I don't recognize a number, just as a rule, I don't answer it. Then I figure if it's important, I'll leave a voicemail.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's the way I approach that. So
I used to tell stories about my grandmother who was in her 90s and used to like to answer the phone and just kind of mess with these people. And I always told her, just please don't do that. But you know, I couldn't convince her otherwise. But yeah, the best policy is just don't answer the number that you don't recognize.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on this morning, Eric?
I just wanted to reiterate too, we have a website on the Sheboygan Police Department's website, a page. If you go to the SheboyganPolice.com. And across the top, there's a bunch of little tabs. If you click on the community tab, there's a link for fraud prevention. And on that page, we have a bunch of tips, things that we've talked about. There's actually a link to kind of like show notes that you and I have talked about in case people missed something or didn't quite catch what we said. I put a lot of details in there. And then just some general information, websites, and different resources for people if they have questions about identity theft or frauds or scams. It's on the Sheboygan Police Department's website. So SheboyganPolice.com, community tab, and then fraud prevention.
Yeah, but would recommend everybody check that out, because you don't want to be the victim of one of these things.
We're going to try to keep that updated with relevant information. As things come in and new scams that we become aware of come in, we'll post that on there to help educate the public and help prevent people from being victims of fraud.
It can really mess your life up.
It really can. More than just an inconvenience.
Yeah, exactly. I had asked you before we went on the air about the mystery seed thing that we've been hearing about.
Just weird.
And nothing local that you're aware of, right?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. Nothing with that. But, you know, it just goes to show that we live in a much smaller world than we used to. And when you get things that you did not order that are unsolicited, always be suspect of that. That's just a weird one, too. I mean, who knows what that's going to turn out to be.
Exactly. It's good advice. All right, Detective Eric Edson, always good stuff when you come in. We always look forward to you popping in. We'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, sounds good, Kelly. Thank you.
Have a good day. 8:48, stay with us. Quick break, back with business news next here at WHBL.
Now at Menards, save big money in your next project with 11% off.